ගරු අගමැතිතුමිය ඔබතුමියට විනාඩි 14ක කාලයක් ලැබෙනවා.
බොහොම ස්තුතියි ගරු නියෝජකාරක සභා සභාපතිතුමියනි. First of all, I would like to thank Honorable Sridharan for bringing this adjournment, initiating this debate. This is a matter that is important and worthy of discussion in this assembly. Honorable Chair, we are living during a time when we are all witness to a yawning gap between human rights discourse, treaties, laws, resolutions, and the actual protection of human rights and of the actual protection of human beings and people and communities. This is what, unfortunately, we are all witness to. We are living through an era where some communities, some people, some nations are viewed as only deserving, in the words of the Italian philosopher Agamben, a bare life, a life through which you can barely exist, and where they live in states of exception, where they are not deemed worthy of a humanity that is equal, that all of us lay claim to. Certain people, certain nations, certain groups are considered not deserving of that humanity. This is the era in which we are living. For us as the new government in Sri Lanka, we are committed to ensuring the protection of all of our peoples, without exception, without division. For us, all are equal citizens of this country who are worthy of the same respect and the same level of acceptance and dignity and humanity. For us, there is no division, nor is there any state of exception for any human being for whom we are responsible. What we are witnessing today, however, if you look around what is happening globally, for us as a new government, these are important lessons to be learnt. The importance of strong and committed leadership, strong institutions that can withstand the pressures of change, of corruption, and most importantly perhaps, the importance of inculcating a culture of respect for human rights in any society. We can see how easily institutions can be dismantled or institutions can be weakened if that culture of respect for human rights is not something that is normalized or accepted within a society. It is a fact, and it has been spoken of before as well, that we as the new government inherited a governance system that was steeped in corruption, privilege, abuse of power, complete and utter disregard for the rule of law, I would say contempt for the rule of law, and contempt also for those who do not belong to that same privileged class. It was this system was also supported by a discourse that promoted racism, promoted division, promoted conflict between and within communities in order that this kind of privileged system could sustain itself by creating division between people and between communities. Honorable Chair, we cannot dismiss or ignore the impact of that legacy for over 70 odd years in this country. This is what we inherited. These institutions, these norms, these laws, this general sense of who we are, all of this that we are having to deal with today and which we also have to address and in many instances dismantle. We cannot dismiss lightly the impact of those years on the political culture that was maintained in this country and that survived in this country till not even just barely a year ago, and what that has meant for us as a people, as a country. Honourable Chair, it's also correct to say that if we look at all the perpetrators, the at the at the lowest level even, many who have participated in violations of human rights may not have intended to be evil. Their intention may not, they might not even have considered themselves evil or wicked or even as breaking the law. But it was this culture of impunity, culture of abuse, culture of racism, which allowed them to do what they did and not feel as if they have committed an act of unspeakable evil. This is the reality that we have to confront, and this is the reality that we have to dismantle in this country. Again, if I may refer to an Italian philosopher, Hannah Arendt, who she has written widely on these issues, and something that she said, that the sad truth in most evil is done by people who never made up their minds to be good or evil. It was circumstances, cultures, institutional practices that allowed them to choose to either be good or to be evil. And the more that these cultures and institutions promoted evil, the more that these people would follow that path. So this is why it is extremely important for us as a government that we create a culture, a different culture, one where respect for human rights is normalized, is accepted, is considered as a paramount part of how we engage with each other, how we relate to each other, and how we live with each other. It is of paramount importance to us that the narratives, that the value systems that upheld things like racism, misogyny, sexism, casteism, classism, all of these things which upheld or encouraged or created a culture where human rights were violated, human rights could be ignored, that dismantling this culture and dismantling the institutions that supported such a culture is of extreme importance to us. And with all humility, having listened to all the members of the opposition who've spoken, with all humility, I would also like to place on record that a different kind of culture, a different culture of good practices is gradually, slowly, I grant you slowly, but gradually emerging. I think acknowledging this is extremely important. What we are seeing today is the space for people to act based on a conscience, based on an engagement with their own conscience, based on an understanding of what is good and evil, because we as a government firmly believe that in each human being there is good. There is goodness and there is the desire for goodness. What we are seeing today is the ability for that goodness to flourish, that goodness to emerge, for that conscience to be stirred, and for our actions to be guided by that conscience and guided by that goodness that is inherently there in all of us. That empathy, to highlight that empathy, to be able to act with empathy, to be able to understand and relate to the experiences of someone else, the suffering of someone else, someone else's emotions, feelings, and respond. This is what we are seeing slowly emerging in our country. And I think with all humility, we must acknowledge that this is beginning to happen, that this stirring of our conscience, the flourishing of goodness, the expectation that people will act on what is within all of us, the goodness within all of us, that space is slowly emerging. I think we need to acknowledge, I think it's important that we acknowledge that, because this is how change and transformation begins. And I'm not saying this lightly. There are examples of that change, and I think it's important that we acknowledge those changes and how the culture of good practices is emerging. It is We can start with the statements, the narratives that we have framed as a government. We have consciously tried to avoid narrative statements, discourse that sow seeds of division, hatred, or violence. We have consciously tried to do that. We have consciously, as a government, tried to always promote, consistently promote, ideas that bring about unity, respect, empathy, accountability, and respect for human rights. We have consciously done that, all representatives of our government, starting from our president, have consistently spoken about all of this. This is important. This is important that a government, that the leader, that the president, from the starting with the president, consistently maintains this narrative, this discourse, that we have stood by our pledge not to resort to racism, to provoking violence, hatred, as a means of survival, as a means of maintaining our power. This is an important shift which I think we need to acknowledge. We have restored, I think, to a great extent, faith in the rule, the respect for the rule of law, or at least the expectation that the law will function fairly, will function without discrimination, whether from the top to the bottom, that the law will apply equally to all. This is important. Our interventions when it comes to mass graves, all of these, or the detention of people, we have attempted to correct ourselves when things have gone.
Garu agamathume thaw vinadi dekak kaalayak thibena oba tumiyata.
We have tried our best when there have been things that have gone wrong, because as I said, we had to inherit a legacy where things went wrong. So where institutions have not transformed as much as we would, as the government would like. So when things have gone wrong, we have been willing to recorrect, we have been willing to listen, we have been willing to be responsive to public sentiment. There are several such examples. Most recently, the president's intervention with regard to the land in Manna, sand mining in Manna, and any other development projects, where he stated very clearly that these will only take place after public consultations. I think Honourable Member Adha Kleinanathan also participated in those discussions, and we are always willing to give space for those voices to be heard, not just of our honourable MPs, but of the public in general. We have, when there was concern about the way the gazette about land acquisition was implemented in the north and east, when there were protests, we listened. We heard you. There was a case that was filed also, but even prior to that, we heard you. It was not the case that propelled us to take that action. So we are willing to listen. We are willing to hear what people have to say, and we are willing to recorrect. We also understand the indivisibility of human rights and the intersectionality of human rights. This is why, for us, socio-economic development is fundamentally important. Why addressing gender concerns are fundamentally important. Why we acknowledge how class and gender and race and caste play a role in how human rights are experienced by people. We understand this, and this is why we acknowledge this in how we work and how we plan, and why we consider all of these rights as equally important, and rights that have to be paid attention to equally. This is especially why, when it comes to things like education, where our policy is that we will leave no child behind. So when there are special instances like among the Malayahak community or in the north and east, we will make special provisions. We will take extra effort. When it comes to development areas which are underserved, we will make special efforts, because we understand how these rights are linked to each other. So, Honourable Chair, once again I would like to thank the Honorable Member Sridharan for raising this, and even in his adjournment motion, he had raised many of these issues that are linked with each other. And this, I think, is an extremely good move, where instead of speaking of a selected issues of a selected community, we are able to widen this discussion and to talk about human rights as it affects every aspect of our lives. So, in conclusion, let us acknowledge, let us acknowledge where we have gone wrong. This is important. But as a government, let us also, I would request all of our colleagues here to also acknowledge that there is a culture of good practice that is emerging, that there is a stirring of conscience, which we think is fundamentally important to creating a new kind of society and a new culture which is far more respectful and empathetic of each other and of human rights. Thank you very much for the time that was granted to me.